Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Titans Team Store is where we're hanging at today. People getting geared up, buying stuff to get ready for the Chargers game. They got stuff to put in your house, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, anything you need. They got you covered here. Anything you need for college football, Chris Lowe has got you covered. National college football writer for ESPN at CLowe ESPN on Twitter. I got to tell you, man, my wife and I got the kids in bed the other night. We were sitting downstairs just kind of running through the day's events. I had the four-letter network on behind us, ESPN. And, Chris, here we go. There's a college football special on, and there's a whole bunch of Chris Lowe, this football 150 series. And then y'all start talking about Keith Jackson, and my wife and I both just stopped talking to each other, and we just watched in awe the magic of Keith Jackson.
Well, I tell you what, I miss it. I think we all do. And, Keith was – I remember – when I was in school at Tennessee in the 80s, he came a few times to do games there. Surely in 85, when Tennessee had such a good team. And he would always talk about the Tennessee River. You know, and you could just hear in that voice, in that vintage voice, Keith was college football. You know, as much as I say that, I think it was 42 years today. In fact, I tweeted something about this earlier today. You know, Keith was on the call, along with Howard Cosell, for Reggie Jackson, 3 runs in the World Series against the Dodgers. That was 42 years ago today.
Is that right? And, wow.
And, you know, Keith, as much as we remember Keith for his work on college football, he did so many things. I mean, he did baseball. He did football. He did a little. Gosh, I think Keith even did this. Remember the old Superstars competition?
They yes.
were doing in the summer?
Yes.
He was as versatile as he was good.
Chris Lowe, our guest. So Tennessee and Alabama, even growing up in Arkansas, I knew what this game meant, and I moved to Tennessee originally in the late 90s. So you can imagine I moved here in 97, and what I saw the Vols do in those first few years. It's hard to believe that Alabama's been on such a run, and Britt pointed this out yesterday. Chris, we had Jason Swain on, and we're getting ready to go, and Brent kind of winked at me. He goes, "Hey, Swain, I just wanted to remind you this on the way out. You were on the last Tennessee team that beat Alabama." and all of us, our jaw just dropped, and I think Swain's did, too.
You guys wonder why I call it Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because Swain is old. It's been 12 years, man. Yeah.
Been a long time. And, you know, the last time they beat them, I think this is right, the last time Tennessee beat Bama in Tuscaloosa was 03, at 2003. And to sort of put that in perspective, so all these kids on this, both these teams, Alabama and Tennessee, that's 16 years ago. They don't have any recollection of Tennessee ever beating Alabama, period, but certainly not in Tuscaloosa. And think about how that resonates on the recruiting trail. When you're Jeremy Pruitt or before him, Butch Jones, you're on the recruiting trail recruiting against Alabama, because not only do you have to play Alabama every year as a cross-division opponent, but you got to recruit against them. And you're recruiting against a team that these kids you're recruiting, 17, 16, 17-year-old, they have no recollection, again, of Tennessee ever beating Alabama, period.
Hopefully we'll reach a day and time where we can talk more about that game. But let's go over to Vanderbilt and Derek Mason. 21-point underdog to Missouri. I get it. But, man, that team and that guy needs a win.
Yeah, and it would be great for Derek and the program to get a win over a quality team, a ranked team, Missouri. And really, probably, when you look at teams that maybe we slept on too much and forgot about, Missouri is right there at the top of that list. And I still say, I've been beating his drum now for a couple of years, that I think Barry Odom, when you look at what he's done there, the consistency and really what he walked into there and the situation on campus, he's done about as solid a job and as consistent a job as anybody. And just, for whatever reason, they're always forgotten about. Everybody thought they were going to drop off after losing Locke. But that the mentality, the toughness, the physicality that they play with, that's a really good football team. And that's you talk about Derek and Vanderbilt needing to win. That's a tough assignment. I don't think this is going to happen, but it wouldn't just completely floor me if we're sitting here in December talking about Missouri being the team out of the East that goes to the SEC championship game. What a surprise that would be to everybody.
You know, it's funny, though, Chris, we looked at them and just looked at their schedule, and I remember talking about this at SEC Media Days with more than one person, and it was like, hey, man, and they could start out 7-8-0 out of the gate, and son of a gun, they go to Wyoming of all places and just can't get it together. And Dawn Davenport is doing the game tomorrow, and she said she talked to the Missouri guys, and they were like, hey, we really didn't know Kelly that well, and he didn't know us that well, and we get up there and kind of have to feel each other out. And by that time, the game's over, and we've lost, but we all learned a whole lot, and now you see the fruits of that since they left Wyoming.
Well, hey, let's give Kelly Bryant, let's give the guys on the team credit. Again, let's give Barry Odom credit, because you're right, the danger of plugging in this world of free agency quarterbacks we're in, a guy in, and sometimes it takes a while for that fit to sort of, you know, take hold. And that game's a classic example of that. But they've been really, really good since then. They've been resilient. They found ways to win. And I still think that they're good enough where some of their best football may be in front of them. And it's, I'm not predicting that they're going to win the East, but I certainly wouldn't just be floored if it all shakes out. They are the winners of the East. I think they're that good, and I think they're talented enough and very well coached. Very well coached, and not just Barry, but his staff.
Big Ten, really good this year. I don't need to tell you about that, but huge game tomorrow night at 6:30, Michigan at Penn State. It's going to be the whiteout at Penn State. Penn State, one of those teams that's hanging on on the fringe of that national championship discussion, but not being talked a lot about.
Yeah. And let me say this. I've had the blessing of being there at Beaver Stadium for a whiteout. It is as cool a thing as you'll see in college football. And I've been to the Rose Bowl, certainly been to Neyland Stadium and seen the T form. I've been to the Big House in Michigan. I think the whiteout and just sort of seeing that there and all the people, especially for a night game, is about as neat of experiences you're going to see or find in college football. But, you know, we've been talking about how multiple SEC teams could get into the playoff. What about multiple Big Ten teams? Man, there's some scenarios out there that could happen. And you mentioned Penn State, Wisconsin, and another team. Both of those teams mirror each other greatly. There have been lights out on defense. When you look at the numbers, the defensive numbers that Penn State has put up, the defensive numbers that Wisconsin put up. Of course, Wisconsin's got Michigan this weekend. The numbers that they put up defensively, they're pretty similar. And they both are really good at running the football, physical, solid on special teams. I still think of when you look at the Big Ten, and maybe nationally, the most complete team I've seen this year might be Ohio State. And I say that because they've got that quarterback defensive line combo that I always look for. They're great at the defensive line. They got a quarterback and Justin Fields, the difference maker. But I don't think it's out of the realm if everything fell right that we could see two Big Ten teams in the playoff.
Hey, Chris, on the way out, how much is there to this Joe Moorhead and Rutgers thing?
Well, there's something there. I don't know. You know, you start to hear that over and over again, and sometimes it's the same circle of information. I guess you saw where Rutgers is actually reaching out to high school coaches in the state, which I don't think is a bad idea, by the way, and asking them, hey, who do you think? What do you think? What does this program mean? I don't think you lean entirely on that, but I think it's always good to get the pulse of the guys in your state that are coaching the high school talent, because believe it or not, there have been some pretty good players to come out of New Jersey over the last few years. But I think that there's probably something to it. You know, is Joe, the only thing I wonder about Joe is a really good football coach and did a terrific job at Penn State. What kind of fit he would be at Mississippi State? Is he a better fit in the Northeast, which is where his roots are? I think that's part of it. And you know, his pay, I think his buyout. I saw the one of the newspapers up there did a sort of a study on what it would cost Rutgers when you looked at what they would have to pay him versus his buyout, and it's not astronomical. So I think there's something to it. I certainly don't think, knowing Joe Moorhead, that it's something that he spent a lot of time zeroing in right now. I know he's trying to get his football team, the Mississippi State football team, back to playing winning football again.
Yeah, he's had some weird comments lately, too. Like, he said he sucked in the Tennessee game. That was a quote. And then he said the SEC has a way of humbling you as a coach, and kind of expounded on that. But definitely some weird things coming out of Starkville with regard to Moorhead.
And sometimes when that's out there, Brent, when it's out there about you being placed somewhere else, there's really no perfect way to answer those questions, because whatever you say is going to be twisted or construed. Either you're evading it, or you're saying things that you're hinting that you might be interested.
Yep.
But you know, he's right. The SEC is certainly, for someone who's a first time head coach, does have a way of humbling.
Chris, we appreciate the time. Big games this weekend. Can't wait to discuss it all with you on Monday, my friend. And happy belated birthday from earlier this week.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys, and I appreciate all your nice and kind comments. It's always great catching up with you guys on Monday and Friday.
Chris Lowe on 104.5 The Zone, presented by the Maynard Man. Is your home ready for the season? If not, call the Maynard Man. Maynard provides annual service for heating and cooling systems in your home. Healthy home plans for as low as $8.95 per month. Call the Maynard Man at 615-255-0603 or themaynardman.com.
You've heard me talk about Cedar Recovery and their war on this opioid crisis.